Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to Wired to Hunt's Rut Fresh Radio, bringing you the latest reports from the Whitetail Woods. Presented by First Light, creating proven, versatile hunting apparel for the stand, saddle, or blind. First Light. Go farther, stay longer. And now, your hosts, KC Smith and Tyler Jones.
This is Rut Fresh Radio. I'm your host, KC Smith, and guess what? It's actually been a tough week in the Whitetail Woods, but the looming effects of a potential cold front has everybody on their toes. This is Rut Fresh. Let's go. What's happening, everybody? This is Rut Fresh, brought to you by First Light Gear. Casey, you've been doing some hunt lately. I have not. I am like, I am just chomping at the bit to get out there, dude.
Yeah, I've been doing quite a bit of elk hunting. If you want to hear more about that, go check out the Element podcast, also dropped today. We'll have a episode that gives a lot of details from that hunt because it was awesome. They were fired up and going crazy because September is the elk rut. Mm. However, September, not so much the whitetail rut.
No,
but
it's not.
Bucks are killable if you can get them on a pattern.
Yep.
And it's you made a remark while ago off air how that's a little bit tough right now because a lot of people have killed their patterned buck already in the month of September. And now we're getting to the place where maybe you're trying plan B or plan C or trying to find something new, and it gets a little tougher, especially because animals are interesting. They are all just a little different, just like humans. Like, most humans are pretty predictable. We're going to eat something for breakfast, something for lunch, something for dinner. But outside of that, you might have a Michael who wants to go to Taco Bell or a me and you that want something kind of nice and cooked at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, right now it's a little bit tough because a lot of deer are doing different stuff. And that's kind of what it sounds like kind of across the country too. The guys are kind of remarking that it's like pretty standard procedure out there, except for the fact that nobody knows for sure what that procedure is.
Well, I think a lot of it is that there's a lot of nocturnal movement still right now, and I think that those just kind of stagnant temps, even if they're not super hot, are still just not like inspiring deer to move earlier. And it seems like with the guests that that's kind of a thing for sure. But you know, also, you still have this pattern ability thing going on, and you guys will probably hear like some of this going on, I'm sure, from a lot of the places across the country in the next week or so, where if you do, like, your season may just now be opening up, or it may open up October 1 or something like that. So sometime recently or within the next week. And if you have something going your way on trail camera, then it's probably going to still go your way You know, a cold front would be great to inspire them to get up on their feet, but it also could mess up some guy who's got a pattern, you know, going mm-hmm. right now. And so if that's the guy and he's got a cold front looming, he needs to go get out in the woods right now and kill it deer before something changes, you mm-hmm. know.
So yeah. It's also a good time of year, too, and this is kind of where the way I think of things sometimes doesn't align with everybody else, but if you got deer that are moving pretty nocturnal, it's a great time to hunt mornings mm-hmm. and get in to bedding. You know, it's like kind of a turn and burn type thing mm-hmm. where, like, if you don't kill them, you might bust it out. But, like, if you're, you know, getting deer on trail camera that are at night on a food source, if you know a good idea about where they're bedding, you can go hunt a morning, you know, get in there real early mm-hmm. and be in the right spot. You know, yeah. It makes me think about, I believe it was October 3rd of the year 2021, you did that exact thing in South Dakota. We it's knew the
fourth.
Where the fourth.
It was okay. It was Eric's birthday.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Birthday buck for old mm-hmm. Eric.
Yep. Yeah.
So we went and bought him a Twinkie at the gas station.
We bought every Hostess we could find, right. dude.
So like it's a thing that works early yeah. in the season. Now that is, you know, kind of a week out still, but the deer are pretty much going to be doing that same thing until they yeah. shift to kind of that pre-rut stage, which mm-hmm. we're all antsy about right
telling
now.
Telling you. You know, and that's something, that's another thing to consider. You know, if that was a public land deer, right? Mm-hmm. If I had a place that I needed to play more conservative, then, which I have a few, you know, I'm not going to go probably and do that unless I see something change. So, or you know, even I can remember in 2020 when I killed a deer on a scrape in Illinois, a big buck, and I played that pretty conservative too because we knew that scrape had been producing all summer, right? Mm-hmm. And so we knew what was going to happen. We just needed something to really solidify the fact that there was going to be a good chance of daylight movement, mm-hmm. and that was a big cold front. And instead, I almost went a week early. And mm-hmm. if I'd have gone that buck that I killed showed up that on that cold front the week prior, mm-hmm. it just was he was in the dark. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being good. I talked to some people up there that were more from the area, and they were like, "You should wait, I think, because things are still really just right at dark, pretty much, if they're coming out in daylight." So mm-hmm. it worked out.
That brings up a little something. We're actually fixing to get to go finally do some whitetail hunting. I'm not going to tell you what state because y'all going to creep us out a little bit. I don't want you to come up finding us.
I know. But, I'd hate for some of them people from Maine to figure out our spots up there.
Oh, no. But the place that we're going, we got some permission on some private ground that is like a lot of ag fields. Mm. And I don't know how much ground we're going to have that's not ag fields. You know, it's going to be mm-hmm. like kind of like tree rows, fence rows in the fields. Mm-hmm. So a lot of deer around, but that makes mornings really tough. And if there is cover, we are liable to have to go through the ag fields to get to it. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of acreage to it. Mm-hmm. So the mornings or evenings thing is going to have to be something to kind of decide on this. Tyler, yeah. How do you feel about it? Do you feel like, because we're going to do this in about 3 days, because we don't have a lot of time to mm-hmm. hunt this place. Mm-hmm. Is it worth going in and boogering stuff, or is it worth just trying to have three good evening hunts where you don't have deer that are all spooked up?
Man, I think, you know, it's going to be probably worth being a little bit conservative until the last morning, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of seeing at least the first day or two what you at least assume is going on. And the issue with this, and this is a through and through thing across mm-hmm. the U.S. probably, but ag is produced by tractors, which have to enter that ag field through a road system at some point, right? So you end up where you enter properties is the ag, mm-hmm. and the bedding is further back in, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Most of the time. So that's why it's hard, because you can't just, you know, come in from the backside a lot of times, because if you could, then they would plant that mm-hmm. too or whatever,
yeah.
you know.
And I feel like we're going to be walking, but if we had a little e-bike or something, it might help with yeah. that. You know, you could zoom back there and just have a little bit different impact. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, and this is something I actually don't know the answer to, but deer seem to enter ag fields at specific places. Like this is the spot that the deer come in. They don't just kind of spider web in. Mm. But I almost feel like in the morning, sometimes they kind of like spider web out. Like they kind of get caught out there and they're like, oh, I jumped the fence.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
For sure. I feel like that too.
It makes it a little tougher to try to pattern deer. So, because I was thinking, I was like, you know, we could pull up. One way we could use our mornings is glass and feel and figure out where they're leaving the fields, and then know you can go set up there. But a buck might do a loop. They don't use. They don't actually do a lot of linear things. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times they're looping to go. Who knows what?
Feed, drink, or see something. If there's does in that area for the next month or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, because I haven't ever hunted this situation too much. There's usually always like an option for the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there will be. I don't know. But it's going to take some scouting stuff to figure out.
Well, and I think that if there is an option, it's probably going to take a long walk and therefore early mornings.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a lot of long walking and I don't really want to do more. So. Yeah.
Maybe kinda, just the evening hunter.
Kind of tired, man. So,
yep. I don't blame you.
Yeah. Well, we do have a diverse group this week from around the country to talk about what's going on in the whitetail woods. It's kind of weird, too, because a lot of times things are different because the country's so big and whitetail are so different. But this is like a really specific time of year where it's like just that calm before the big game type thing where everybody's just like, all right, it's coming, you know, or whatever. So who are we talking to today?
Yeah, so I try always to spread these things out when we, you know, quote-unquote book guests. But I want to make sure we're getting some south, some north, some east, some west, that kind of thing, as much as possible. And it's hard depending on what seasons are open. But Arkansas opened up recently. So our buddy Nick Gonzalez has been up there hanging out with the mosquitoes and trying not to get carried off in Arkansas. We're also going to talk to Cam Bates up in Wisconsin. Cam's a super cool dude, very knowledgeable, smart individual that has been hunting the Wisconsin area, and that's a state I've never hunted, actually. I've scouted it, but I've never
seen
hunted it. I've seen it.
cheese there. That's right.
That's what you do. And then Jason Redd from Timber Ninja out in North Carolina, he's, you know, speaking of walking, he's the master walker. he loves walking very far.
Calling Christopher. He'd just be walking all the time.
He's out there walking around in North Carolina hills. And then Garrett Otteson from Minnesota. He's been doing a much different game where you don't walk very far because you hunt right next to the driveway in the urban areas.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah. It is a diverse group, and there's a lot of different things going on. You know, a lot of you people have been sending us messages about states and places, you know, you'd like to have. Unfortunately, there's about four guests every week, and there's, you know, 40-something states that have whitetail in them, and we're going to cover them as much as possible. But, you know, south, central, western, eastern Illinois might not make it. You know, you never know. I mean, so Illinois.
Especially not right now because there's not a season open.
That's right. But Illinois will make it, you know, during the season, I'm sure. But like your particular area, I'd like to help you out and get that done. But it's enough for us to get the states all lined out as much as possible. So we're trying. We're trying, guys. And I appreciate your support. You guys listening to this thing, I know Mark appreciates it as well. And we'll try to have him back on one of these days when he gets done trout fishing and all that kind of stuff. So. Anyway, let's get to those guys. All right, on the phone now, I've got Nick Gonzalez. He's an Element correspondent. He's been out in Arkansas. What's going on, Nick?
Oh, not much. About to get some Chick-fil-A.
Man, it's about to be, you know, a pleasurable fast food experience for you.
Spicy deluxe time, man, for sure.
Always.
Cool. Well, so you've been in Arkansas doing some hunting. You were hunting public land?
I was, yep.
How'd that go?
To say the least, I've had better hunts.
Yeah.
I didn't see a whole lot of deer action on this trip. Saw a few doe, lots of mosquitoes, and a lot of snakes.
Mm. Oh, snake farm.
All the bodies out there, man. What was the tactic that you were – so a little background here. You went on a hunt early last year to Arkansas and had a good hunt. So I'm assuming you were kind of just going off of some of the previous knowledge there. What was the tactic that you were going in there on?
Yeah. So last year we were kind of hunting bed to food. We also had some water. So last year was a real dry year, and the location that we hunted last year was, one of the only spots in the area that had really good water, which is what they were patterning. This year, we weren't able to get to that same spot due to a couple different circumstances. So we had to improvise, scout new areas, but essentially we were hunting the same thing, just bed to food. mostly acorns. Found some persimmons while we were out there as well. So that's kind of what we were after.
Is that what those snakes were eating, persimmons?
No. The only thing I saw eating those actually were coyotes.
Oh, yeah,
they'll do.
KC loves coyotes, man.
Man, let me tell you something. I have a lot of encounters with coyotes these days, it seems. Mm-hmm. They tend to really like to mess up my hunts, which I hope that didn't happen for you.
Nah.
Yeah.
So what kind of acorns? Were they red oaks or white oaks?
Couldn't tell you, to be honest with you. Yeah. I need to do some more research.
Were they small and in swampy areas?
Yeah, they were small. They were real green.
Yep, yep. So probably like swamp or water oaks, as they call them, and willow oaks, I would assume. But those things we found, they tend to work later in the season too, because they got so much tannin in them. But anyway, so, you know, you have a rough hunt, but you did see some deer, right?
I did, yeah. Just a few does, and they were both times, or both sets that I saw them, they were hitting the acorns.
Okay.
Just coming out of their bedding in the evening.
What were they bedding in?
What were they bedding in?
Yeah, just like super thick honeysuckle and stuff like that, or what was it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, gotcha. Thick areas like that.
Yeah.
It's all swampland out there, so everything, you know, it's kind of hard to find the bedding because everything looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sort of thick cover.
Sure enough, man. Did you find any rubs yet while you were out there?
I didn't find many at all, actually. I saw one on a really small tree, but that was it.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like a little wispy to just give you not much confidence.
To feel like you're hunting some small deer public land.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, if you were thinking about like this next week based off any, you know, weather patterns or any variability that you can think of, would you still hunt the same pattern, maybe a different area, but would you still hunt deer moving from bedding into the acorns?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's probably your best bet at this point. I think that's the only thing that they're moving for right now.
Mm-hmm. I'd be moving for them cottonmouths for sure.
Getting out of there. So yeah. If you had to predict the buck movement over the next week and give it a rating of 1 to 10, what are you going to call it for Arkansas?
Honestly, probably like a 4, just because the weather is going to be about the same. It's still pretty warm. I think maybe mid to low 60s in the mornings and then mid 80s or so during the day. So I don't expect it to be much better than it was this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, man, I hope that it goes better for you next time you go up there, man. And I hope your Chick-fil-A is super tasty. And as they say, I hope it's their pleasure, you know what I mean, that they serve you that Chick-fil-A.
They do. They're pretty consistent, so I'm sure it will be.
They are.
Consistency. Yeah.
That's the key, man.
Chick-Fest report's pretty good on this one, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks for hopping on and doing that for us, man. And, yeah, we'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
On the phone, I've got Cam Bates. He's been out in Wisconsin hunting. What's going on, Cam?
Oh, man. I'm waiting for cold weather to roll in, but that's not too big of an issue. I hunted the entire opening weekend, so Saturday, Sunday. Learned a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for some of the colder weather to roll in to really – see some more deer movement in the morning hours and the evening hours than normal.
Yeah.
But it's been good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, so I got a question for you then. Saturday I coached a Pee Wee football game and it was 96. What's cold for you in Wisconsin? Cool.
Man, the temperatures I want to see in the morning, I want to see in the 30s to 40s.
Yeah.
In the current months we're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Opening day though, I think it was morning temps were 55 and then afternoon temps were 72 and sunny.
Mm. Man, I think there's a song about that, isn't there?
Yeah, there might be actually.
Yep. So, you know, this might be a little bit, like basic level, but I think it's probably a good idea to talk about what do those cold temps do for you?
They get the deer moving sooner. Mm-hmm. When it's a little bit warmer out, the deer tend to not hunker. They just bed longer. And so it pushes out those moving times from where you'd want to see it, the 6 a.m., 7 a.m. They push out to more 8, 9, 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really allow you to, well, it doesn't allow you to prep for the day well.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So do you also, you know, the temps you listed there, we're looking at kind of like first frost dates and stuff. Does the browse or the food sources tend to shift whenever you get that first frost?
Yeah. By then you'd still see some of the, you'd see some of the farmers, picking corn by then or picking beans. They've already started to pick corn up here, but you start to see deer shift from movement out to those types of food sources, like ag food sources.
Mm-hmm.
You see them start shift inwards to, trees dropping acorns, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So is that what you've been hunting is, you know, major ag food sources?
Yeah, so I tend to make my decisions off of trail cameras right now because the land I hunt isn't quick driving distance of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tend to hunt off of trail cameras right now. And basically, I'm really looking at travel corridors, not necessarily where I would set up, but to go, all right, are deer moving in this direction? If they're moving in this direction, then yes, they're probably hitting that field during the evening time. And so I'm just seeing what's moving to the food source.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Are you thinking about scrapes at all yet, or is it still too early?
It's too early. I would expect to see that here in the next week or two, where you see an uptick in scrapes and rubs, actually.
Mm-hmm. So in the next week, would you change what you're doing if you're going forward and hunting next week, or would you stick with, you know, trail camera data that's showing you where they're headed to and essentially hunting between bed and food?
I would say within the next week, I'm going to stick with the trail cam data and I'm going to hunt between bed and food. Here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, then I would start looking for scrapes and rubs and really determine, hey, am I going to put my setup near one of those travel corridors from scrape to rub, and just use that as where I would set up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, cool, man. So looking forward for the next week then, if it's kind of consistent with what you've been saying, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you expect buck movement to be like over that next week?
Buck movement over the next week, I would expect it to probably be a 6.
Mm. Mm. Pretty good.
That's not bad, man.
Yeah.
But that's also factoring in, hey, through the trail cameras, do I have them figured out? Because, I mean, they're still moving during the day, but it's, do I have that sussed out to know, am I going to be close to where they're still moving during the day between these food sources and bedding? Then I would say it's a 6. But below that, if you're just winging it, it drops.
Yeah. Well, I feel like every time I'm winging it, I have low odds anyway. So trail cameras are helpful things, man, for sure. Well, we appreciate it, Cam. Thanks for the report, man. I hope that going forward, like in 2 or 3 weeks, you're killing rut and bucks over scrapes and stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be awesome. I'll for sure let you guys know.
All right.
Well, guys.
Thanks,
guys,
man.
I nailed it.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too.
See
you.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal.
Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And, as often is the case, those guys were onto something. Because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co and make sure to use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MEATEATER.
We've all seen plenty of gadgets and fads come and go, but here's one product that stood the test of time: Seafoam Motor Treatment. Lots of hunters and anglers know that Seafoam helps engines run better and last longer. And it's really simple. When you pour it into your gas tank, Seafoam cleans harmful fuel deposits that cause engine problems. I'm talking common stuff like hard starts, rough engine performance, or lost fuel economy. Seafoam is an easy way to prevent or overcome these problems. Just pour a can in your gas tank and let it do its job. Now, you probably know someone who's used a can of Seafoam to get their truck or boat going again, because people everywhere rely on it to keep their trucks, boats, and small engines running the way they should the entire season. So, help your engine run better and last longer. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
On the phone now, I've got Jason Redd. He's been out in North Carolina doing some Timber Ninja stuff and hunting. How's it going, man?
Man, it's doing good. It's a beautiful day.
I hear some birds out there in the background, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the back porch.
Yeah, dude. I mean, porch sitting this time of year can be pretty fun. It's a little warm in Texas, but I don't know if it's the same there in North Carolina or not.
Today, our high is about 74, but we came out of this warm. It's been hot this end of summer here, but this is our kind of like first little sprinkling of fall.
Yeah, that's cool. So you've been hunting a little bit this week. You're the kind of guy that likes to get after a target buck sometimes and really trying to figure out something, especially on public land and, you know, some of that. Can you explain kind of what the country you've been hunting looks like?
So yeah, I hunt mainly national forest up in the mountains, North Carolina. So it's a lot of old growth forest, you know, really no timber cuts, you know, mast and terrain is like your key thing components here. But yeah, I've been after a buck for 4 years that I'm hunting right now.
Yeah. You told me you feel like you're kind of squeezing in on them and figuring them out. Now what kind of pattern have you been hunting them on?
Right now, what I've been really focused on is food. Acorns are key here. Acorns are dropping heavy in my area, and I know where he likes to bed this time of year. He's opened up some sign in there last week. You know, that they just started shedding their velvet last week, and these rubs definitely look like, you know, he was shedding his velvet. And then he also, you know, with that velvet coming off, that testosterone going up, you know, deer are kind of doing some funny things right now. These bucks are, and he already opened up a scrape this week too. So you know, it's right in line on this elevation line with his bed at the saddle. The one thing that limits me though is that I know he's bedding on private and I'm hunting on the public, so I can't push any further than I am. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really what I'm working on is, you know, him coming to this saddle to eat acorns, but with so much mass on the ground right now, he doesn't have to travel very far. Mm-hmm.
Do you have cameras in the area?
I just put one in that area because he wasn't in there last year this time, but he had been the previous years that I've hunted him. And for whatever reason, I didn't get him in there early season last year. And I think, you know, as he's, you know, he's at least a 7-year-old deer. So I think, you know, his home range is shrinking, and this is primarily has been his core area. So I think he's going to be in there tighter this year.
I got you. I'd be interested to see how much daylight movement you're getting for sure. It's an interesting time of year because, you know, as we get kind of closer to October, some of those scrapes will open up and those kind of things. And in my in the past, you know, it can still be hard to kill them very far from their beds, you know, and until like late October a lot of times. So that's interesting. Now, if you were, you know, you said you've had kind of a spout of decent weather, good, decent temps. It's been kind of warm before that. What is the forecast looking like going forward? I mean, are you going to be probably sticking to the same type of thing, trying to really just hunt really close to that private and in hopes that he shows up in the daylight?
Yeah. I mean, so actually I'm going on a trip out of state next week, but, if I was hunting him, you know, all this week, you know, that moon's starting to come full. And I do notice a little bit more midday movement when you have a full moon in the early season. Cause I think this deer out, but, but my goal is I did put a cell cam in there and I want to see, you know, if there's potential that he's bedding on the other side of this saddle. If he is, I can push a little bit further. So I'd be in there, you know, really as close as I could. Cause any type of weather change, you know, that's somewhat drastic or the moon can make that deer get out of his bed a little bit earlier and travel a bit longer.
Sure. So if you had to make a guess at what the buck movement will be like on a scale of 1 to 10 in the next week, based off of weather patterns, moon, or just time of year or anything, any variable, what would you rate the buck movement to be like if you had to guess?
I think if, you know, as we get into later next week, I'd be more on the 7 scale personally. And I would, like I said, I think I would gamble on that being a midday early season movement. So I'd be getting to my stand about 7 or 8 o'clock and pretty much sitting all day. If I had something I was seriously after, if I don't have something I'm seriously after right now, I'd have a stand on my back, checking for fresh sign around dropping oaks. Cause you know, those bucks, they tend to like a certain oak, you know, until they move on to another one.
Gotcha, man. That's a good report. Well, I appreciate the time, Jason. And I hope that you get to wrap your hands around his antlers at some point, man, this year.
Yeah, buddy, we will.
Thanks, man. Okay, now on the phone, I've got Garrett Otteson. He's hunting up in Minnesota. He's been hunting with the Whitetail DNA team and Alex Comstock up there. Man, what's been going on?
Ooh, not a whole lot. It's been pretty slow, actually. Our mature bucks are kind of MIA. We actually just had one show up the other day. But for the most part, we're just sitting in spots waiting for those boys to show up.
Yeah. So are those big mature bucks? When you say showing up, you mean on camera, I guess?
Right, yeah, okay. Pretty much, or word of mouth, I guess.
Okay, sure.
We're in a suburban setting, so
gotcha.
People talk around here.
Yeah, man, I mean, people are seeing that. There's joggers, there's bikers, all of it, man. So,
right, I'm sure for sure.
Yeah, so and as far as the camera data goes, are those deer showing up in daylight?
Not yet so far. I think we're blocked up in our city. We're given sections, so we're only able to hunt so far. And some of these big mature bucks are smart, you know, and they hold off in the spots that you can't hunt. And then once we get closer to the middle of October, November, they're going to start showing up in those spots where we can hunt.
Gotcha. So because of the rut.
Right now we're getting them. Yeah, right. We're getting them after dark right now. For gotcha. Sure.
So, What patterns are you hunting them on? Are you just hoping that you can get as close to bedding as possible, or are you sitting near a feed of some sort, or what?
Yeah, right now we're sitting pretty close to feed. We're still, like, pretty much mostly everybody in the Midwest hunting food to bed. We're just trying to get in between those bucks and just hoping for a Hail Mary right now.
Yeah.
One of our teammates is on a pretty good one, and so he's hunting, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What's the feed that you have?
We got acorns, we have apples. Sometimes the deer, you know, go into people's gardens. So if you can set up close to as close as you can to people's houses, I mean, that's where the deer are trying to go.
Gotcha. Okay. So, as far as like the, you know, shooting a deer in that situation, does it ever make you nervous?
Yeah, it does for sure. For sure. That's what the whole summer is, trying to make the most ethical shot and make the most when it happens.
Yeah, I bet, man. So, you know, when I talked to you first before we were on air here, you mentioned that it's kind of rainy up there. I guess it's been kind of rainy. Has that been kind of the conditions the last week?
No, they've actually been pretty hot, which is probably why those bucks are staying after dark too, before okay. they're getting up out of their beds.
So do you think this weather will change things?
Yeah, for sure. Cause I'm looking at next week, temperature's supposed to drop into the 60s.
Mm.
So that should get those deer moving earlier.
Okay. So if you were going to be hunting next week, or say you're going to hunt, are you hunting the same patterns, essentially hunting apple trees, acorn trees, those kind of things, and trying to still hope that those bucks are just getting up on their feet earlier, but you're, you know, ending up in those spots before dark hits?
Yeah, for sure. I'm also going off of historical data. I know where these, for the most part, I mean, it's a deer, it could go wherever it wants, but going off historical data, those deer, they're bound to move through my area. I just got to be there at the right place at the right time.
Right.
So this, like you said, this next week is looking a lot better than it did opening week.
Gotcha. Okay. So if you had to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as buck movement goes in the next week, based off of any variables you can think of, what would you give it?
I would go probably a solid 5.
Okay. That's good, man. You know, 5 was my number in high school, so I'm cool with that, you know. Awesome, dude. Well, I appreciate the information, Garrett, and I hope that those big bucks show up for you next week.
All right, me too, man.
See ya.
See ya.
Those are some fantastic reports from around the country, some real information for you to use and to get you hype about the upcoming days. Thank you so much for listening. If you need to get a little bit more hype and you're kind of more the reading type, Mark Kenyon just put out an article about how a spreadsheet can help you kill your target buck. And that guy knows, because he is all about his target bucks and all about his spreadsheets too.
Oh, he is. The Holyfield master, right? You know, you can also watch Mark if you don't like reading too much, which I understand. Mark actually has a new, there's a new episode out on the Meat Eater YouTube channel for the 1 week in November series. Mark is the thumbnail guy. So if you see old Mark in the sweet new Source jacket from First Light with the binos in his hands, trying to look at a deer, a target buck apparently, down in the, to the right corner, that is a new video on the YouTube channel. You should check it out. Guys, thanks for listening this week. This has been Rut Fresh. Keep it fresh.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. You simply pour a can into your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. So pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store, or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.